Welcome to Canandaigua 1310 WOKR, and this is Civil War Radio. Can I tell you something? Got to tell you one thing. If you expect the freedom that you say is yours, prove to me that you deserve it. Help us to preserve it. Or being free will just be words and nothing more. Welcome to the Combat Radio Network. This is Three Men and a Microphone, recorded inside the Iron Mike Studio, located in the Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua. Three Men and a Microphone is an opinion show based on the ins and outs, the news, politics, and scuttlebutt about town and the city of Canandaigua. Beautiful, historical Canandaigua, New York, where the hops grow higher, the grapes grow sweeter, and the sun always shines. In conjunction with 1310 AM, Canandaigua. Three men and a microphone, all the way from Rochester to Geneva, New York. I am your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone. And we'll be right back after these messages. Clerical, can I get a drink? Sumatra, pull down the shades. Maduro, lock the door. We're gonna party. Can you hear me? How long I've been on? Welcome! Enlisted and officers, WMs and Devil Dogs, I'm Corporal Tim Thornton, your host for tonight. This is the DD214 and Laurel Cigar Lounge, fresh from the Dominican Republic, Hickory Mono Cigars, here at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Smoking lamp is out. Good morning and welcome to Civil War Radio. This is Three Men and a Microphone on 1310 WOKR, and this is the news behind the news behind the news behind the news with Armin Marinetti on Article 5 of the Constitution. And later we'll talk about current events, Donald Trump, and those horrible words that he might have said, and the competency that may be in question. But that's later. Right now, Armin Marinetti.
Okay. This segment we've called Civil War Radio, which, again, as a reminder, civil means that we're going to be polite, we're going to be mature, we're going to be adults, we're going to talk to each other the proper way. And war means that we might have a difference of opinion, but we're not going to duke it out. We're going to use words and try to explain things and maybe win somebody over to our side. Okay? Without any blood. Tim's looking at me like, why? That's no fun.
I got my bandages all ready to go here.
So Article 5. All right, Article 5. Well, I've been reminded again by some listeners, stay on the topic. So here's what we're going to do. Like Tim said, we're going to start off with a little discussion of Article 5, a little bit of history. From there, we'll go into what's happening with current events and how President Trump, there's... rumor of using the 25th Amendment to our U.S. Constitution to maybe remove President Trump from office. So Article 5, that's known as the amendment process. There are two ways to propose amendments. The most used or always used method is that Congress takes a look at amendment. Both houses, the Senate and the House of Representatives, have to approve the proposed amendment by two-thirds. So the Senate's easy to figure out. There's 50 states in the Senate, so two-thirds of the Senate is, if I did my math right, check me out, 34 states.
Which that is would be correct.
67%. Okay, that's to propose an amendment, which is a change to our U.S. Constitution. And we're up to 27 amendments. The most common that we all know about are the Bill of Rights. That's the first 10 amendments. And we'll get to those as the days go by. As far as the articles to the U.S. Constitution, after today, we only have two more articles to go. Article 6 and Article 7. So back to Article 5. This is probably the most popular article today in current history. It's been forgotten for many years, but the reason why it's popular is that there's a movement out there. It's called the Convention of States, which is trying to use Article 5's second method to propose changes to the U.S. Constitution. And that second method is that the states, the lawmaking bodies, like here, we'll use New York State as an example. In Albany, the lawmakers have to get together along with 33 other states, and they have to say, we want to have a convention to amend our U.S. Constitution. It's never been done before. It's been proposed many times over the years, and it's the process has begun, but they've never gotten to the full 34 states. Let me take that back.
I'm going to differ with you on that one.
If I remember history once, was it the Now Amendment for equal rights for women?
No, it was not.
Well, which one was it?
It was actually to override the 18th. Amendment.
18th.
The 18th Amendment was prohibition.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
So to override or overturn the 18th Amendment, they passed the 21st Amendment.
Yep.
And the 21st Amendment is the only amendment to the Constitution that was passed by this second method, where they went state by state, held conventions, and they ended up with 34 states who said yes.
Okay.
That we will overturn. And overturned prohibition, and so legal sales of alcohol was then allowed again. And it was funny because John Rockefeller from New York State, the wealthy industrialist, was one of the ones who said he was very pro-temperance. And when it came time to override, he said, you know, it was his hope, this evil of alcohol, that public opinion would rally against the evils of alcohol, but even he admitted that that's not what was happening. And basically what happened was crime rates spiked after prohibition was passed, and so the states saw that that was not a good thing, and they turned around and repealed that amendment.
All right. I didn't know that. I'll have to double check my history books, because what I've read is that it's never been used before, and what's often happened is that if it gets close to that 34 states, Congress gets off of their butts.
Duff.
Right. And they go to the first amendment
method.
Process and beat the states to the punch.
Right.
So thank you.
You're welcome.
That's good information. So that is the Article 5 in a nutshell. I'm going to just quote some of the sources that I've used. So if people want to go do their own homework, which I always encourage, because that if you have the desire to check out books or check out things online, that means that you're going to learn it because you've taken control of the situation. So here's what I use. Of course, the U.S. Constitution, which everybody should have a copy of since it's the rules for our government. Tim's got a copy. All
right. No, I didn't bring my copy today.
I've got an extra if you want to borrow it while we're...
No, that's okay. I read through it.
Good, good. So you got that. That is a good source. Online, I like using videos because it helps me to see that. I'm not just an audio learner, but I'm a visual learner. So the more I can see things, the better it
right.
sticks.
The more senses that you use to learn something, the greater ease it sticks with you.
Yep. So I used a Crash Course on YouTube. That's the name of the video series, Crash Course U.S. History. And also, if you want to get the young people, there's this one character. I find him amusing, but I can't always watch the six-minute video. It's Hip Hughes on History is what it's called. And I think he's a teacher, and he tries to be real cool and uses the modern language. And I'm looking at the guy, and he looks like he's probably in his mid to late 30s. But I'm sure younger people in high school would appreciate that. And it's called Hip Hughes History, Constitution for Dummies. So you can look that up on YouTube as well. And his videos run usually about 6 to 8 minutes. Then for us older people that take more time and still read books, this one here by Mark R. Levin, The Liberty Amendments, covers an Article 5 Constitution of State. I'm sorry, Convention of States to amend the Constitution, and he lists in here 11 possible amendments. One of the most popular being the term limits for Congress. Where let me see if I can find it quickly. I hate thumbing through books because he writes it so much better than I can remember it. There's two sections to this proposed amendment. And the first section is that Section 1, no person may serve more than 12 years as a member of Congress. Whether such service is exclusively in the House or the Senate or combined in both houses.
How does that apply to, like, McCain or somebody like
that? They've been gone 30 years ago if it was in existence. Now,
right.
Okay, here's Section 2. Here's a guy who's been in office for 20-plus years, right? What would happen to him? Upon ratification of this article, any incumbent, such as John McCain, member of Congress whose term exceeds the 12-year limit shall complete the current term, but thereafter shall be ineligible for further service as a member of Congress.
So there is no grandfather clause in this one.
Yes, yes. He finished out the term that he was currently elected for, and then he can't run again.
But this hasn't passed. Yeah, this is something that's being proposed.
Oh, I thought you were reading it.
No.
It's a proposed. This book is all about proposed changes to our U.S. Constitution.
I was too busy with Tolstoy smoking my pipe.
Okay. So now there is a second part to the Article 5. It's called the ratification part. So once Congress or the
Convention of States
comes up with this change to the Constitution, it has to be ratified by another amount. 3/4 or 75% of the states have to ratify it, which is a very tough hurdle to leap. That's 38 out of 50 states
right.
have to ratify it, which means approve it. So it now becomes part of our U.S. Constitution. Okay? Questions about any of that? Tim, you look like you're thinking.
I am.
All right. Got anything to ask about?
Not yet.
Also on YouTube, if you guys want to, more our age, remember Joe Piscopo?
Yes.
From Saturday Night Live? Well, he's become conservative, and he has a talk show in New York City. So he has a YouTube video out there that I caught last night and I watched. It was about 6 minutes where he's interviewing Mark Meckler, who is one of the founding fathers of this current push for a convention of states here in the United States. And they talked a little bit about the new tax bill that we've talked about, the Tax Cut and Job Act. He talks a little bit about that with Mark Meckler. And the quote that I'll use is, it's a mess, is what I heard. And then they go into the convention of states as well. So he has a little bit of humor, but a little bit of seriousness, like the rest of us. We've kind of matured over the years. So, like fine wine.
Bless you.
Right?
Everybody's liberal before they're 30, and then after 30, they become a conservative.
Yeah,
unless you're insane.
Yes, there's a quote out there, and I don't remember who said it. It might have been Mark Twain. If you're not a liberal in your 30s, you're heartless. If you're not a conservative in your 50s, you're brainless. Something like that. So, anyways, before we move on, I just want to say hi to the guys out there at the town of Canandaigua dump, because they've been out there in this cold weather last weekend, and they're out there every Saturday morning as well as Wednesday after 4 o'clock. Sunday mornings they're out there. Bruce, Todd, I want to say hi. Maybe you guys can tune in and give us some pointers.
You know what we should do? We should send Melissa to the dump with coffee. And then when we plug somebody.
Okay. Hey. Now here's something you guys need to know. In the
Melissa
town
gets
of
all the good jobs.
The
yeah.
town of Canandaigua, if you're running for a public office, any public office in the town, the place to go to rack up votes is a town dump.
Correct.
Literally, all these politicians will be there Saturday mornings helping you unload the junk from your vehicle while they're talking to you about what their platforms are or whatever.
How
I'm
nice.
Telling you, because everybody from the towns all use that same dump.
They can lift the junk, but they can't pick up the phone when you call and say, I got a problem. Nice.
Mike, I think you're being very generous, because I've never had one of the...
I hope you unload your...
Not yet.
Are you not
the...
really.
Well, since the change of the pattern for the dump,
yeah,
they put those guys out by the road.
Right.
So they're not even near where we unload anymore. But at
okay.
one point, they used to be at that building that was walking distance from where everybody pulled up. So they relocated them because they changed the traffic pattern until the new facility is up and running.
It's a good place to go picking. That's all I know.
Yeah. Can I tell a quick story? Do I have time?
Oh, yeah.
You cut me off if I don't have time.
Your time.
I went over there one time, and one of the gentlemen there, I says, you know, I see these guys. You know, where can we set up? We wanted to talk about a charter school in the Ontario County region, okay? So he told me that you can go over there in the free speech zone. And that phrase just tweaked me for some reason. I'm thinking free speech zone. And on college campuses, they have free speech zones.
Where is this?
At the town dump.
They have a free speech
That's zone.
Zone.
Does anybody work at the town dump?
It's got nothing to do with them. That would be like if you wanted to go set up a table and you're promoting something that might have a little bit of a political flavor to
this
it.
This has got to only be in America where you go.
Well,
to the,
you can
okay,
set
so
up.
This is interesting.
Yeah, so we set up and we did our thing, right? And I got to thinking about that free speech zone, so I went and had T-shirts made that say free speech zone, and the arrow points straight to my mouth. Because aren't we
I love it. I love it.
Aren't we all a free speech zone?
That's right.
That was my thought. Why do I have to go in this corner or this portion of the town dump to speak my mind? Why can't I speak my mind here or wherever I am? If I do it properly, that's the whole purpose of Civil War Radio, folks.
Oh, you're right. You know, you get into the whole, what are you doing?
Whispering.
I thought he was passing gas. What the heck's he doing over there? So, you,
I'll give you a T-shirt. You can, I think I have. I'll go home and I'll check. And when I come back, you guys could have T-shirts and we could wear them one day, because this could be a free speech zone.
I had a thought, but Mike made me forget it. So I'll come back with it.
All right. So should we move on to what's going on today with the 25th Amendment? Or
sure.
Is there
no?
What about the part where you said we were going to talk about in the Constitution, where it defines what would be allowed to use to remove a sitting president? And if I understand it right, insanity is not part of that at all.
No, that's you're hitting on the 25th Amendment, and that's where we're going to go next, if that's okay.
Yeah,
yeah, and
we're
ready
to move on.
I have to apologize because I have more senior moments every day.
Well, you have a lot of seniors that are distracting you anyways.
We talk about so many things, and it goes in and out, and I apologize. But the 25th Amendment, a little bit of history first. The 25th Amendment came around in 1967. And what brought this to national light is the fact that President Kennedy was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the smart constitutional law experts realized that our original Constitution might be a little lacking in the proper way to replace presidents and vice presidents. Because over time, there were, I think, something like 16 incidents in our American history that we needed to replace a president or vice president, whether it be illness. I think it was Wilson that had a stroke. Woodrow Wilson had a stroke, and I think his wife actually stepped in. That's at least
right.
So it was tackled in the mid-late 60s, and it was finally passed in February of 1967. So that's 51, almost 51 years ago is when the 25th Amendment was put into place. Now, there are four sections to it, and I kind of really shrunk them down into one word. That way we can discuss it for fun instead of just boring people with a lot of words on a page. But the 25th Amendment, the first section deals with when the vice president or president dies. The second section deals with when there's a vacancy in the office of vice president or president. The third section, and then when I'm done with the sections, I want to go back to a couple of incidents in history that relate to these sections. The third section is about the health. And I'll mention a couple times when that was used by George W. Bush, the son. And then section number four, which I call, this is me speaking, the crazy clause. All right? The cabinet is involved on this, and we'll get to that as well. But let's go back first for, as I said, the assassination of Kennedy brought about the discussion of having a better process to replace a president or vice president. So in 1967, this 25th Amendment was passed, and it's for the death, removal, or resignation of the president or vice president. And it also allows that it might be a temporary replacement. And there, in this, in the Constitution, it spells out that the president can respond in writing when he feels he's able to resume the duties of president. Okay, so what I found interesting, this is me again thinking this through. In 67, the 25th Amendment became ratified. Then, remember Spiro T. Agnew?
I do.
Vice President for Richard Nixon?
That's correct.
Right? This is the first time the 25th Amendment was ever used, because I guess Mr. Agnew, when he was governor of Maryland, might have done some illegal things that caused him to lose his position as vice president. Yeah, I saw bribery as one of the charges, as well as evading income taxes. Okay? So now, here it's...
Okay, but my understanding is Agnew resigned.
Yes.
He wasn't found guilty on any of these charges, right?
Correct.
And that brought us to...
And then the 25th Amendment was used to replace him.
Right.
So
President, and his replacement was?
President Richard Nixon replaced Agnew with Gerald Ford.
That's right.
As the new vice president. Now, within a year, the 25th Amendment was used again.
A second time.
For President Nixon's resignation.
Yep.
And Gerald Ford, who was appointed to be vice president and approved by the majority of the Senate and House of Representatives, has to be approved. He became president. So I just thought, found it real coincidental that the 25th Amendment comes about, and then within from 67 to 73, within 8 years, I'm checking my math here. Is that not, 8's too many? 6 years. Within 6 years, it's used twice.
On the same guy, basically.
Basically, yeah. So that's a little history. I always find history amazing because I was, as I was driving over this morning, I think we should change history to mistakery, because we often repeat the mistakes in history, and I was hoping that by learning history, we wouldn't do that so often. So That's the 25th Amendment. If you want to get into more detail, let's go.
Is there a clause in the 25th Amendment for insanity?
Not, so that takes us to number four, right?
Yes, and it doesn't use the word insanity. Let me just try to read a couple of the highlights. Again,
okay. Well,
I think you're right. I think you're right. It doesn't. The word.
We're allowed as people to elect whoever we really want, and if we wanted, you know, Donald Trump, and we think he has some quirks, then they're quirks.
Mm-hmm.
If we say that, because not every quirk is insanity.
Correct.
It's just part of your personality.
Let me read what it says in the text of the 25th Amendment. In Section 4, first of all, they talk about the executive departments, officers of the executive departments. That's the president's cabinet,
right,
gets to make this decision. And it doesn't use the word insanity, but here's what it does use. First the declaration comes from the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives. Their written declaration that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. The vice president shall immediately assume the powers and duties of the office as acting president. So the words that they use is unable to discharge. That's very vague. Oh, insanity would fall into that, as well as if you broke your hands and you couldn't write, put your signature on a bill. You think about that. If I can't sign a bill and I'm the president, can it become law?
Right. I would think it'd be. I mean, that's the problem is we add to things.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, this is probably meant for physical health. And then people go, well, mental health. Well, no, it doesn't say that. And I'm not saying that we want someone who's insane, but I'm also saying that it doesn't clearly state that. And therefore, I don't know that you can use that. You know, but hey, he's going in for a physical today on his health.
Yeah.
And we'll know later today how healthy he is.
Tim, you're reading my mind, because as I was doing research, I didn't realize that George W. Bush actually used parts of this section of the 25th Amendment when he was in office back in 2002 and 2007, where in writing what he did, he was going to go in for a colonoscopy. So he was going to be under anesthetics, right? So he's not able to what did I, how did I say that?
Unable to discharge their duty.
When you're passed out because of anesthetics, you can't discharge your duty. So he had, in writing, gave his vice president, who was his vice president, test time. Who was George W. Bush's vice president at the time?
I was going to say it's Quayle, but it wasn't. It was
that was his dad.
Right.
The important guy that served his dad.
Yeah.
Cheney.
That's it.
Dick Cheney.
Very good.
I was
going to
say some kind of industrial magazine.
I could hear the people listening.
The wheels were turning.
So it was Dick Cheney.
Well, see, you know, like, clause to be drugged, just to let you know, it's so bad, so strong, that the same drug is listed as a drug that if you have a pistol permit and you do take that drug, which is really a fentanyl, you don't have your pistol permit.
What, Hulk?
You are not. That's a drug you shouldn't be driving, talking, walking. People do it. I picked up a buddy. He says, I'm okay to drive. He was. But it doesn't mean that he should have.
Okay. I had a colonoscopy done just this past week. Okay. They used those drugs on me. I came out of there. Their instructions to me were, you are not to drive. You are not to have any alcohol. You know, for 24 hours, so on and so forth.
Tell us you did some electrical work.
No.
In the air.
So my wife drives me home, right? At the end of the day, I always have a glass of red wine. It's actually been prescribed by my doctor to me for my heart health.
While you're on fentanyl.
So, okay. At this point, because these instructions were given to me at the end, not prior to be given drugs, but at the end, after I had the thing, I had no memory of being given these instructions. So I sat down and I poured myself a glass of wine. And then my wife the next day, she sees a wine glass sitting by the sink. And she's like, did you have wine last night? I said, yeah. I said, wine every night. She says, didn't you listen to the doctor? I said, Why? Well, I mean, what did the doctor say?
You're already drugged up.
Right. I was already drugged up, and I had no memory of the doctor telling me I couldn't have my glass of wine that night. My wife says, you sat there and you said, oh, so I can't have my glass of wine tonight. And the doctor said, that's correct. And I had no memory of ever saying that. Right. I mean, those drugs are so bad. I mean, they're good in that you don't feel anything.
You're supposed to lose a full day of work.
You dodged the bullet, and I'm going to bring us back.
Okay, right. We're off topic again.
All right, we're off topic again. So easy to do. And the thought came and went a couple times, and I think it left me again. But I was going to mention, if you want to know more, there is actually a movement afoot here in New York State and across the country. Go on your computer and type in one word, conventionofstates.com.
That's one word?
No spaces. Let me say another word. Convention of States without spaces.com. Because I don't think if you look in the dictionary, you're going to find that word.
Right.
So conventionofstates.com. And you'll.
Can we just go through that?
Okay. That so we'll get to that in a minute.
Right?
Who's they? Who's they? They.
Well, we voted against the convention of States.
Right. The citizens of the state of New York had an opportunity. At once every 20 years, right, to have a convention of New York State.
Yes, stop right there. The key word is that you're confusing.
One word.
Yeah, I told you. You're confusing New York with the United States.
Right.
All right.
Right.
So we're not talking New York.
Right.
So we'll put New York on the shelf for now because that's hit.
You can sign a petition to call for the convention of states, but if it follows like the New York State one.
It won't.
It's decided that it was a waste
totally
of money.
Different. Totally
right.
Different.
Two different things.
Erase that from your memory. Where's the shiny object? Wait a minute. I gotta get Tim, look at the shiny object. All right. Forget New York State. We're talking U.S., United States of America. Okay? So don't mix the two because that often happens.
Right.
And matter of fact, I had a chance to help Senator Pam Helming understand the difference between the two, and she supports the resolution in Albany for New York to get on board if there is a convention of states organized. So we might become one of those 34 states that are needed to take the next step. Currently, there's only 12 states that have gotten on board. And they're ready to go with a convention to propose amendments. Key word is propose. Doesn't mean the amendments are going to pass.
Right. And they still need three-quarter, right?
Of the states.
Right.
To ratify or approve of the amendments. So it's a pretty hefty process. That's why we only have 27 amendments to our U.S. Constitution, because it's not easy to do. So a lot of opponents, people against this Article 5 process by the states amending the Constitution, they say, well, you know what's going to happen? Back when the Articles of Confederation were in existence, they were just going to amend those Articles of Confederation. And when all these brainy guys got together, they did away with the Articles of Confederation and came up with the U.S. Constitution. So what they can do is take away our Second Amendment rights, which Tim's going to talk about later. All these other bad, bad things can happen when a convention is called, which is a possibility if we, the people, sit on our hands and do nothing. So I guess this is more a call for action on our part as citizens. We have to pay attention to this stuff. I know it's a lot easier to watch a football game. Sorry, Bills.
I was going to say, we'll talk a little bit about that.
Sorry, Bills. I see Mike's got his Bills shirt on.
Sure he does. What is he, 17 years old?
So, but people, it's really, we have to ask questions. We have to be more interested in what people we give authority to rule over us are doing, or else we're just servants and serfs.
Right.
So anyways, that's it for now, I guess, unless there's other thoughts, questions, concerns.
What are your thoughts on the claims of incompetency or the two books of fiction.
I agree with those comments. I don't see any evidence. But again, I remind everybody, we're only getting bits and pieces from people that want to create a wave, if you will. Our news agencies, I call them ruse agencies. A ruse means when you kind of play a trick on somebody, you fool them. And sadly, that's how I see ABC, CBS, CNN, even the other side. You want to take a look at the other side, they realize that in order to be competitive, they got to be just as foolish as MSNBC, which I don't agree with at all because it turns people off.
Our major news stations shouldn't be shock jocks.
I agree.
That's my job.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. This is a commentary show.
Yeah.
Right? It's an opinion show. That's all it is. So, but when you get the news, you should be able to depend that it's structured enough. You can make a decision on facts.
Mm-hmm.
And we left that a long time ago.
The gentleman who just wrote this new book, I think his last name is Wolf, about President Trump.
Wolf and Bannon.
I saw him on a news show where the woman interviewer asked him, did you interview any members of Trump's cabinet? No, was the response. Did you interview any members of Trump's staff? No, was the response. But he always, like I just did, he uses that word all and always constantly. And it gives the listener the impression that he talked to everybody. He never said that. He never said, I talked to everybody. He said, all the people I talked to. Said this
both of them.
Perfect. Get it?
All the people sounds like it encompasses all of us.
Yes.
Right.
But
yes.
It really just means the two that he talked to.
Exactly. Or however many it was,
however
but it wasn't
it was.
A very.
That's my favorite quote when I, you know, when I try to understand a person or what they've said or even what they're selling. I tell all the young guys, pay attention to every word they say because they give themselves away. In my business. If you want to know whether it's real or not, you'll never see the word type or style. And they almost legally have to throw that in if they're doing a reproduction.
Uh-uh. Oh.
One guy, he did a paragraph on the history of what it is styled after. And even I was fooled.
It gives you the impression that it's original.
A whole history
yeah.
of what it's styled after.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Not what it is.
Right.
You know what that's called? I looked this up. Do you ever hear the word paltering? P-A-L-T-E-R-I-N-G. Paltering.
I'm sorry. Spell that for me again.
P-A-L-T-E-R-I-N-G. Paltering.
I know what that is. Melissa brought it up earlier today about the you're not allowed to molest animals. Poultry.
No,
you're that's poultry.
It means too many weed.
Thank you, Melissa. Yes.
No.
Lord, help us all.
Can we get out of the gutter? Will you light up mm-hmm. that cigar? You should.
I'm afraid of your chair.
In Harpoon Park in Canandaigua. There's a sign, and it says, do not molest the animals. And that means
and I don't believe it.
To, like, feed or try to touch, not to touch inappropriate. Like that.
Where do you think you are? On some Islamic farm with goats? It's not, nobody posts that sign. It's not there.
I have.
It is there.
It is you said there. You've seen it?
I've seen it, sure. I actually.
I have to go to the bank after this. I will take a picture and I will send it to you.
You know why I do this weird? So when I was a kid, we used to do this. Sure.
No, I don't remember that.
I used to do it in my neighborhood all the time. Right. Like that.
Yep.
Must be an Italian thing.
Yeah. Must be.
It's gotta be.
I don't believe you.
I just you got my
you gotta stick the chin out.
Like, sure.
Yeah, me and Arwen got it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know. We grew up close to each other.
These East Rochester kids.
We went to different high schools together.
I got to throw this in there because it's Italian. So I grew up in Arundicoy, right? It's very Italian. When I grew up there.
Well, you notice it begins with an I, just like Italy. So there's a connection.
Exactly. So this woman comes in the other day, and she's talking.
We're going to get in trouble.
And I can't help myself. I wait till she's paid and everything. So I go, can I ask you a personal question? Sure. I go, and again, if I'm wrong, sorry, but I can't help myself. Did you grow up in a Rhonda coin? She goes, I did. And she named the street, which was not that far from my street. I go, you have an Irondequoit accent. Is that impossible or what? But yet I was right.
Okay, so what word or whatever gave it away?
I'm the king of profile. I'm telling you. The more you talk, the more the duffel bag, sea bag detective works. It's all up here.
I can see it. I can hear it. I can hear it. It's clicking. I hear it clicking.
We're on a railroad track.
All right. So I guess we're done with the Civil War segment, right? Nobody's hurt, right? Nobody got hurt. No offended. Nobody's offended.
No, nope. Nobody's bleeding this
nobody's
week.
Bleeding.
Mike and I had an off-the-air discussion about the flu, and I think you're right. They list the boy, the child, as the flu, even though the guy on the radio today on the way in said it was he died of a cold, so they just file all that stuff under flu. Me and Mike have a lot of discussions, and we don't
off really, mic.
We
yeah,
give each other no quarter.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's I mean that brings to me that brings the level of the discussion higher when you can challenge each other.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's how
iron
it should be.
Iron.
Yeah, that's how it should be.
And you see what I did? I conceded.
Yep. Yeah. So we switched somehow. We're done with the Article 5 Convention of States, and you just mentioned flu. This is how it works, this ping-ponging effect that we have going here, is that when you said flu, a couple years ago I went to the doctor for a routine physical, and he asked me if I wanted to get the flu shot. And I said, no, I think I'll get the flu the old-fashioned way. And he looked at me and goes, what do you mean? I said, from other people.
Yeah.
said, and he just shook his head. Like,
I think, are more in line with me, and I think Mike would disagree with this. I'm not sure. I'm still profiling Mike. We'll take another But I'm kind of anti-shots from the government, even though I've had millions of them from 11 years of
being. Well, that's right.
If not a million. I mean, they just
right.
give them to you left and right.
Correct.
So it's a moot point for me to probably fight it. But when they go, do you want your Clorox shot or do you want your, what, isn't it the Clorox shot?
No.
Ammonia, Clorox, something
pneumo
like that?
Pneumo vaccine?
I don't know.
Pneumovax?
Huh? You're the nurse.
Pneumovax?
No, they ask you if you want pneumonia. Ammonia shot.
No.
I hope not ammonia. Maybe pneumonia.
That's because he goes to Dr. Vinny Gubatz. Hey, what shot you want today?
I just say no to everything.
I do too.
I'll take their pills reluctantly. But
okay. So there's a lot of childhood vaccinations that are offered, you know, for rubella, mumps, measles, chickenpox, stuff that many of us had when we were kids.
The old-fashioned way. Mm-hmm. We got
them. Right, and most of us survived them, but some didn't. Mm-hmm. And so these shots do save lives. Now, I have more problems with things like these flu shots, because these flu shots, they developed them before the viruses even are known which ones are going to be most prevalent. So like they're saying, the current one is only about 10% effective against the current strain that's out there. So is it even worth getting a flu shot? On top of which, in my opinion, your body is designed to fight these things. So by fighting them off, you're actually improving your immune system. And when you get these shots, your body doesn't have to fight them off as hard. And to my mind, it actually weakens your immune system, and you're not as strong to fight the next thing that comes along.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's my opinion, and I am not a medical doctor. I've never played a medical doctor on TV. So don't take my advice. That's just my opinion.
You know, and I'm very pro antibiotics, right? Or am I saying it
probiotics?
Probiotics.
Right, you probably take probiotics.
Well, I do it, but I do it in every day. because, you know, I cure my coffee cup. I eat the kimchi.
Right.
You know, I wash my hands, but I'm not going to wash my hands every time we shake hands unless, you know, you're ugly. And then, you know, then I'll run into the bathroom after you leave it. Wash my hands. But not really. I really would rather shake a guy's hand after every sale than to sit here and not shake your hand on purpose and squeeze that little thing in. And, you know, I mean, but if you don't get the daily germs, what is your body building up against?
Right.
What are you doing for yourself?
Right.
And if you're at home, you really got to look up curing your coffee cup and get back to me on it. Yeah. It's an old Navy military thing.
Okay.
But it's a probiotic. If it's not, it's got to be.
So when we come back, we're going to cover all the hottest news from Canandaigua.
Okay.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back with our news anchor, Michael Yarger, our co-host, Armando Marinetti of the Marinetti fame.
Shh, not so loud.
Were you late because you were hanging somebody on a meat hook in the garage before you got here?
No, I was late because I do this for fun. You know, it's not like it's a job. You know?
Right, right.
If you said you're...
What's the matter, Cupcake? Winter's here and all you have to look forward to is yellow snow. That Einstein you're dating wants to know where the white goes when the snow melts. Thinking of all the fun you'll have schlepping home at 20 miles an hour? Car won't start, mud, slush, salt, traffic accidents, shoveling, brushing, and wading through a snowdrift just to check the mail? Your boots leak and you only have one glove and it's stuck? Frozen wipers, locks, fingers, toes, and noses. Hey, at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange, we agree. Winter sucks. So let us help you bear the frozen tundra that is upstate New York. The Military Exchange has everything you'll ever need to kick the crap out of old man winter. Warm hats, caps, gloves, socks, long underwear, Polypro, thermal, wiki, and super wiki. Gore-Tex insulates, wool, jackets, parkas, pants, and boots. There's lots of fun things to do in the snow, but none of it's fun unless you gear up. At Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Stop in and see Corporal Thornton. He'll even show you how to write your name in the snow.
Great googly moogly.
Honey, how many times do I have to move your old army bag? It's taking up too much room in the closet.
It's a duffel bag. It's full of my old uniforms.
And are you going to wear them again?
Yeah, maybe. Someday.
Uh-huh. And what size do you wear now?
Whatever.
Honey, why don't you take them to Military Mike's? You're certainly there enough.
It's Iron Mike's, and at least he doesn't make comments about my weight.
Bring your old military gear down to Iron Mike's Military Exchange. They'll turn your old uniforms, gear, and military collectibles into cash. So if you drug it back from overseas and it doesn't fit your motif, we want it. Iron Mike's wants your Class A's, Alphas, Hammies, Fatigues, Utilities, Digis. We want your Deuce gear, Molly gear, Alice gear, Web gear. Bring in your Poly Pros, new boots, used boots. Heck, if it's green, camouflaged, or digital, we want it. Give it a good home. Used, pre-enjoyed. Iron Mike's has a bin for it. Iron Mike's buys, sells, and trades. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua, New York. Check out all their newly acquired items at militaryexchange.co.
Welcome back to Canandaigua 1310, and this is our interview with President Tim Andrews from Scope. Now, I have to ask, are you the president of all of Scope or just Ontario County?
No, all of Scope, New York State.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your honor. And if you could, tell us a little bit about Scope and yourself and what you like to put out there for folks.
Well, Scope as an organization has been around since 1965. It was started by a group of gentlemen in Buffalo, New York, and it started out small. And over the years, it's slowly grown into a statewide organization. We got chapters in pretty much every corner of New York State right now. And our chapters, we have a lot of good active members that are doing things like, obviously, our number one goal is to impact legislation in Albany. hopefully in a sense that we stem some of the gun control that Governor Cuomo and others are pushing. Aside from that, it's about educating voters in New York. A big plan that we do have for this year that I think is probably one of the most important things we can be doing is getting gun owners in particular out registered this year to vote and then vote in November. One of the problems we have in New York State is it's estimated 4 to 6 million gun owners in New York. And we've had a difficult history of getting those people out to vote and why it's important to vote. A lot of people are discouraged because they feel we can't overcome the vote that comes out of New York City. And one of the things I want to get across to people this year, that's simply not true. We can overcome that. 57% of the adult public lives outside of New York City in New York State. That, to me, means there's fertile ground to plow there.
Yeah.
That if we work hard enough, if we get people united and working together, and we get those people registered to vote, that's the key. We can get a new governor in November. I truly believe that's possible. So that to me, is our primary focus, what we really need to be looking at this year. I think everybody knows we've dealt with it the last 4 years in New York State, and there can't be anything more important than impacting the governor's race this year and also impacting some of the legislative races throughout
the
state.
Is Scope ready to back a candidate?
Well, we can't endorse candidates. I want to make that clear. We're a 501c4 organization. We can't endorse candidates. But we can certainly educate the public on where candidates stand on issues and what they did, and that'll be our focus. That's why one of the things we can do is we can educate the public on the importance of registering to vote and getting out and voting and that type of thing. But we definitely can educate on where people stand on the gun issue. And we are a pro-Second Amendment. We don't advocate on any other issue but the firearm issue in New York State.
Good. So you're here today to tell us a little bit about anything that's going on, new laws, anything that's concurrent?
Well, of course, the legislature is about to go in session. The governor had his State of the State address. He hasn't actually announced any specifics in terms of what he's looking at in terms of gun legislation other than the domestic violence issue, that he wants to keep firearms out of the hands of people convicted of domestic violent crimes. It's pretty much an unnecessary law because it's already federal law. It's not even necessary. It's probably more an election ploy of Governor Cuomo than anything else.
I said that last show that
right.
We've already got stuff in place
right.
for that. And do you think this mental health part, like where they're trying to imply that the President Trump is not competent, I think that's all part of the gun grab, because if you could ever take a guy down like that
mm-hmm.
on mental health, then you would go after everything.
Yeah, and it's actually – it's probably one of the most egregious things about the SAFE Act is just that. They estimate there's over 80,000 people in New York State have been impacted by the SAFE Act under the mental health reporting requirements of the SAFE Act. And that's one of those things that gun owners have lost due process rights in New York State. They can if you get reported by your doctor or hospital that you've been involuntarily committed to a hospital for observation or something like that, you could shortly after that have the state police show up at your door looking for your firearms.
So how do
again no due process?
So how do the state police know that you have? Is it because you have to register your guns with them?
Well, yeah, that's the other thing with the SAFE Act. Although the amount of people registering has been a disappointment, I'm sure, to the state. But that's what's happened with some semi-automatic firearms. And of course, you've got pistol licenses. You've got the recertification process for pistol licenses, which is another thing that's probably an important thing to get out to people now, because if you don't recertify by the end of the month, January 31st, you're subject to having your pistol license revoked. In fact, it is revoked, according to what the state police are saying, as of January 31st, if you don't recertify. Worse, not only will they show up at your door to pick up your handguns, but they're also going to pick up your long guns, too. So if you have shotguns, you have a Remington 1100 sitting in your gun safe at home, all the shotgunners out there who feel the state's never going to come after my gun, well, guess what? Even that Remington 870 pump is going to be vulnerable because they're going to confiscate that, too. So we finally reached the point in the movement, in the Second Amendment movement, we've always told people, we've always had this thing where you get the smooth-gore guys, you get the shotgunners out there who say, well, they're not going to bother my guns, they're not going to come after me. Well, guess what? Under the SAFE Act, they will. because those guns are going to be confiscated too if you don't recertify your permit to come in after those also. So it's something to be aware of. It's another reason we think there should be a lot of interest on gun owners in particular this year to register to vote and then vote in November.
Very interesting. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So you suggest that everybody definitely writes in their registration before January 31st?
I would suggest that you can do it by paper. You can go online. You can print out all the forms, and then you can fill them out, mail them in. And then I would send them in by certified mail so you have a record and a postmark of when you sent it and that you did send it just to cover yourself. I know there's some resistance out there. I know there's some folks out there that, you know, are just outright saying, yeah, I'm not going to do it. Now, it's a personal choice if you choose to do that. But personally, I wouldn't, because the ball's in the state's court right now. You're going to be the one having your guns confiscated, because they will be confiscated. I, in effect, think that's what the governor wants. He would love you not to recertify.
Right.
Now he can do two things. He can confiscate your guns. You also may end up being a convicted felon. And when there's one other thing, besides not being able to own firearms as a convicted felon, there's one other thing you can't do as a convicted felon.
That would be vote, right?
Exactly. You can't vote.
Surprise,
so,
surprise.
So you've just played into Governor Cuomo's hand. You've lost your firearms. You've lost your right to vote. So you can never vote against the governor again. And I just think that'd be a good – I understand how people feel. I understand how somebody has that feeling. They heck with you. I'm not going to do this. But this is a little different than the semi-automatic registration they did, in the sense that they don't know where those AR-15s are out there. So if you didn't register your AR-15, your AK-47, or whatever you have, they don't have no idea where those are. They do know where you are, though, in terms of your pistol license. Okay, they've got a record of that. They've got a record of the pistols you own. They've got a record of your name, your address. So they know where to go with those. So it's a little different than resisting in terms of the semi-auto ban and pistol licenses. So my recommendation, it's going to cost you a lot of money. You're likely to lose your firearms. You may get them back after an expensive extended court battle. So to me, I would say recertify, do it by paper, send it by registered mail, and let's fight in November. Let's take the fight there. That's where the fight belongs.
We interrupt this interview, but we'll be right back, because this was hour one of Three Men and a Microphone, Civil War Radio, our interview with President Tim Andrews from Scope, and we'll be right back after these messages at 9 a.m. sharp. Thank you, and be there, or be square, you know, like an L7.
When you hear the phrase, boots on the ground, that phrase means our men and women that are in the American Armed Forces, and that means they're ready to fight. They wear the very best gear America has to offer. I'm talking the very best in leather, Gore-Tex, Finsulate, three-layer Vibram soles, Nomex, side zippers, and stitching. Quality that the civilian market can't even come close to offering. When you say quality, you want U.S. government issue. Iron Mike's is the leading distributor for military government contractors. They offer jump boots, Mickey boots, jungle boots, SWAT boots, sniper boots, steel toe, Navy deck boots, and Marine Corps and Army desert boots. Corafram low quarter shoes, mucklucks, extreme cold weather, and lightweight tactical boots in 6, 8, and 10 inches. Iron Mike's takes trade-ins of all your old military boots. Iron Mike's is located at 2485 State Route 332 in Canandaigua. Check us out online at ironmikes.co.
Introducing now, in the corner of Case's Mini Storage Plaza, wearing camouflage boxers and smoking a cigar, hailing from Canandaigua, New York, Corporal Tim Thornton's the all-new The Military Exchange. The Military Exchange is proud to present over 5,000 feet of pure 100% military. The Military Exchange is your source for all your military needs and proudly supports active reserve and former military, VFWs, legions, and leagues, Boy Scouts, Sea Cadets, Civil Air Patrol, and your family. Presenting cigars fresh from our plantation in the Dominica, collectibles, t-shirts, hoodies, and ball caps, rank and insignia uniforms for parade, security, and law enforcement, camouflage clothing, outerwear, wool pants, parkas, and field jackets, camping backpacks, tents, and sleep systems, vintage clothing and gear, Class A's, past and present, tactical and survival gear, antiques and airsoft, brand new and pre-enjoyed military camouflage and boots. Check out our military talk show at IronMikesMX.com. 5,000 feet to pure 100% military in Canandaigua, New York.
Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, a natural choice in pet grooming, located at 1010 South Clinton Avenue in Rochester. We are your premier full-service pet salon. Call to make an appointment, 585-355-4761.